Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
If a man, let's call this man Jesus, has 100 sheep, let's call that the church, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Now just imagine us. You got 100 sheep, one runs away. What would you go? I still got 99. I'm good, right? That's the way we think. That's not the way Jesus thinks. Jesus says to the other shepherds, you stay here, you watch them, I gotta go.
What would you do if you had picked 100 apples and somewhere on the long walk home, you lost one? Would it be important enough that you'd go back and look for it? Probably not. But what if you were a youth group leader and when it was time to load the bus, one student was missing? Today, Pastor Jim shows that Jesus, the true shepherd, looks for the one lost soul because he or she is a human being created in the image of God. You are important to Jesus. He knows you by name. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he continues his message. Jesus, the true shepherd.
Do you know that when our church was much smaller than it is now, there was times we had a waiting list for servants? It's like 9 women in the nursery and 1 baby. They're like, I think the kid's okay, Pastor Jim. I go, well, why don't you guys just decide that a few of you will come in and sit in the back row and well, they'll come get you if they need you. But we used to have a waiting list. Now, you know, post-COVID, everything's just a little different. Everybody's always seems to be all busy and stuff like that. So let me ask you, what is the next step for you? What is it? I don't know. Think about it. You know, this is the thing. When it comes to serving, I'm not doing a thing, but we always say this. It's not a life sentence. We're not going to ask you if you want parole, but anyway, you know, it's not a life sentence. You try something, it's not for you, you try something else. That's fine. I was a youth leader for so many years. I really miss it. You know why? I love teenagers. You say, you love teenagers? What are you, crazy? You know why I love them? They're so honest. Like, I love it, man. You know where you stand with them. That's why I love it. There's no like, oh, you're a wonderful pastor. We love you. You know, okay. So it's just, that's the way it is. So what's the next step? Verse 4 and 5. And when he brings out his own sheep, now watch this. He goes before or ahead of them. Let's just stop right there. You see, when they would go out into the fields, right? That's where the shepherd would have the rod and the staff and he would be putting them back in the line. Why? Because a sheep can't really defend themselves against wolves and animals and stuff like that. So when those animals came out, mountain lions and stuff like that, when they came out to eat the sheep, who was out in front of the line? The shepherd. And Jesus says, I go out ahead of you because I am going to defend you against what wants to kill you. And so that's what Jesus says. I go out ahead of them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee. You might want to circle that word flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you know that's true about sheep? That there's such a relationship between a shepherd and the sheep that a lot of times they name the sheep and they would actually call them by name. So when all those different people, if all those different families came out, they would stand outside the gate and they would call, and they would call their sheep, and the sheep would go right to the proper shepherd. Notice what Jesus is saying here. The shepherd brings out his own sheep, not like the false shepherds. Remember what it said about the false shepherds, where Zechariah said, you leave the flock, you abandon them? No, that's not the way a true shepherd is. Or what a lot of other shepherds do, and some of you know this, is they drive you for their own agenda, right? And then after a while, what's sad is a lot of people say, well, I've had it with that church stuff because they think that's what shepherds are supposed to be doing. A lot of people go into churches, they want to know about God. They go into a place and they hear all this ridiculous stuff. They don't know anything about what they're listening to, right? And they're thinking like, the guy knows what he's talking about. He's in the pulpit. He's supposed to know this stuff, right? But there's so much stuff that's not true. Instead, Jesus says what? I go ahead of you. And I ask you to follow me. So what is he doing? He's not pushing them hard. He knows, Jesus turns around, he knows that some of the little ones can't keep up. So what does he do? He slows down. And that's what a good shepherd does. But also, he's leading them on the right path. He's not leading them some other place, you know, for his own benefit. So, why do God's sheep follow him? Why do Jesus' people follow him? Because they know and trust the shepherd. That's why. That's why we follow him. We follow him because we know he is trustworthy. And this may not be a popular statement, but they actually give the rule of their lives over to Jesus. They say to him, "You are worthy of my trust." And they hear his voice. And that's how God feeds his people, through the word of God. That's again why we study the word of God carefully, because that's how we do it, all right? We want to be fed by God, not by me. And that's not a popular message today. People want to hear how wonderful I am. So if I get up here every week and go, "Y'all's wonderful. Love y'all. Great. Every one of you is wonderful. Great. Love you. God's going to bless you. Come back next week. You'll be rich. It'll be great. It's wonderful, man. Everything will go right in your life. Man, there will be nowhere to sit in this place. There won't be. And I'll be lying through my teeth." Because that's what people want to hear. Yet how important to see that God knows us far better than we will ever know ourselves. Far better. And notice Jesus even goes before his people, even into the darkness of death, so we will not have to taste it. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Right away. Yet the true shepherd returns to his people every morning, calls them to follow him and to gather new sheep. Now, notice what Jesus says here. They flee from the stranger. Now, that's very important. I think that's something that could easily be missed. Sometimes we have to flee from certain people. They're just not true. And many people in Jesus' day were following the false religious leaders, and they still are today. And sadly, they don't see it. Once again, how do they do it? Well, they add to the word of God. Many of you have sat under this kind of stuff. "Well, God has given me the fuller revelation." Did you ever hear that one? Oh my goodness. This book has more than you could ever imagine. Sometimes I meet people and they say, "Well, I know all that stuff I need to know about God." Now, you're nice people. You go, "Really? Oh, that's good. That's good." I go, "Do tell. Tell me what you know." And then we talk about how much they really don't know. And I am blessed to be able to study the Bible most of the week. Take a few hours every morning. Thursday, don't call me. I'm nasty on Thursday, okay? That's my biggest study day, right? You can call me, I don't care. But that's my biggest study day. And each week I realize the less and less I know about God. Because it's not that I'm not learning more. It's just that the subject is so immense. It's just so immense. But these guys say they have the fuller revelation. You know what that means? They're making it up as they go along. That's a translation. That'll be in my Bible translation. And others, they subtract and they call it grace. Others say, "Hey, it doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go to a church." Seriously? If you're ever with me and somebody says that, just pull me aside. Just go, "Come on, Jim, we got to move." Because I'm going to be like, you're not serious, are you? We're on a bunch of radio stations, and one of the ones that we pay to be on, we had a large group of givers that supported the radio station, but most of them moved down south. It's not, most of it's in Pennsylvania and Baltimore and stuff like that. So we switched our time on there. And I cannot believe the amount of emails I'm getting from people who are like, would you please stay? Would you please stay? Would you please stay? And some of the stuff that they're, the kind of similar stuff that they're writing is just really interesting. You know, they say stuff to me like, we love your honesty. They're like, you're so honest and you're not afraid to say the hard things. You're not mean and you say it. Actually, the funny thing is a lot of them think I'm a lot younger than I really am. Apparently, I have a young radio voice. I have no idea. Do I have a young voice? Yeah. I do? Yes. All right. How many vote yes? The rest of you can leave. Okay. So anyway, they do that. And a big thing is they go, you're funny. That I'm like, oh boy. But then they'll say, and yet you tell us the hard things, and yet I don't leave here feeling like a piece of garbage. And the answer to that is simply this. To say what the Bible says and then to do what the Bible does, point people to Jesus. That's how it's done. I'm not doing any kind of anything. I'm doing what the Bible, I steal all of my material from the Bible. I have no problem with that, okay? We tell people what the Bible says, and then what do? The Bible points us to Jesus, who not only wants to forgive your sins, but totally wants to change you from the inside out. And that is a big, big difference. So in verse 6, the Apostle John adds, by the way, those of you that have an old voice, we'll give you one more chance, but that'll be it. Okay. Verse 6, the Apostle John adds his own commentary, which he sometimes does in between. He says, Jesus used this illustration or figure of speech, some verses say, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them, or some verses say what he was telling them. Now, next week, Jesus will speak more directly. He's using what we would call now metaphors or symbolism to set up the rest of his message. This is not the easiest chapter to divide in for a preacher, but next week, while we see the sheep and the shepherd illustration, what we're seeing here is more important than the sheep and shepherd illustration in the Old Testament. Now, let me just stop for a second. The stuff in the Old Testament is true. Got that? It's true. This is what we call progressive revelation. What does that mean? That means that God is revealing more things about himself, which he's revealed before, but he's making them more clear. So those of you who are married, how many of you married more than 10 years? Okay, a lot of you, okay, good for you. And you know more about your spouse than when you first got married, right? I'm not gonna ask whether it was good or bad, all right? But what is that? That's a progressive revelation. You're learning things as you go along. God is revealing things more and more and more as we go along. Now, who did not understand this? Probably the crowds, maybe the religious leaders, but again, that will end soon as we go on. Fair to say both the sheep, who are the people, and the thieves and the robbers, the religious leaders, are spiritually blind at this point. They're trying to figure out what he's talking about here. And in the Gospel of John, the truth of Jesus Christ is defined by who accepts Jesus or not. Now, I would be a terrible friend to you, a terrible pastor, if I did not ask you, do you know Jesus Christ? Now, I know that many people have come to this church because they've told me for years, and they go, I came here, I thought I knew Jesus, and I sat here, and I sat here, and I sat here, and I realized it was mommy and daddy's faith, or I realized it was my parents' faith, or I realized I was in a goofy church, or I realized this, or I realized that, and now I realize what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So please make sure you know the answer to that question today, and if it's no, please keep coming. Please keep coming. Once again, the religious leaders think it's Jesus, or they knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, who was on trial. But that's not the case at all. If this is a carryover from chapter 9, other than Jesus, the only guy who is innocent in this whole thing is who? The man born blind. The rest of them are out there. This is a classic case. You know anybody who says this? Me and God are okay. You know anybody like that? Yeah, me and God are okay. We're okay. Now, you're nice people again. You say, okay. I go, the heck does that mean? I'm like, what does that mean? And they go, yeah, me and God are okay. I go, would you please explain it to me? And so a lot of times they're like, well, I'm okay with God with this and with that. I go, how do you know he's okay with you? Ooh, right? And people are like, walk away from that guy. How do you know it's okay? You see, when we come to these passages and Jesus calling us and wanting us to listen to him and stuff like that, you know, did you ever watch those old pirate movies? Sometimes the pirate ships would be out there and then the Navy would go up alongside of them and they would fire warning shots across the bow of the boat. And they're like, if you don't stop, the next one's going to sink you. That's what these are. These are warning shots across the bow of our boats for us to get a really hard look at where we are with Jesus. Why didn't they understand? Because they were not Jesus' sheep. And we will continue with that next week. A few verses here. John 6, 37 through 39. All that the Father gives me will come to me. So if God has given you to Jesus, you will, Jesus said, repent and believe. You will turn to God and put your trust in Jesus instead of yourself. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Let's stop there 1 second. So you think, I've done all this really bad stuff. God says, fine, you come to me, I won't cast you out. No, I've done a lot of bad stuff. Nope. Okay, I always tell everybody, read Acts chapter 9. Apostle Paul, hot mess, becomes the greatest theologian the world has ever known. Hot mess, arresting Christians, do all that. Nope, God says, you come to me, I won't turn you away. I won't turn you away. And he came for him, okay? For I have come down, verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. So if God has given you to Jesus, you hear that call and you come to Jesus, he won't lose you, but should raise it up at the last day. He says, I will raise you up in a new, not earthly body, but in a new heavenly body, like the one Jesus came out of the tomb on Easter Sunday. So again, I want to ask you the question. Have you heard the Jesus voice calling you? Is he calling you to his flock? All you need to do to get there is to turn to him and put your trust in him. This involves coming to the true shepherd. Now, for many of us, you're going to have to leave your old flock and follow after Jesus. We must leave many things behind, but Jesus is saying, you come to me and I have a better life for you. A better life here and certainly a better life for all eternity. That's why Jesus is on his way to the cross, as we're going to see. He knows where he's going because that's the only way he will be able to raise you up on the last day so we can be with God in glory. That is not religion. Religion is what I can do so God will be pleased with me. That's religion. Christianity is Jesus has done all the work, and all he says to me, all he says to you and to me is, do you want it? Do you want it? That's all you need to do. You just need to respond to him. And then when you've responded, staying close to Jesus. So let me ask you this. Are you a wandering sheep? I'm not saying this to make anybody feel guilty, but I want you to it's very good to take a good assessment of yourself. Where am I? And a lot of us, you'd like, well, like a year ago, I was really walking strong with the Lord, and right now, not so good. It's okay. What does God say? We'll come back today. Come back today. Let's close with a popular story. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 through 13. What do you think? If a man, let's call this man Jesus, has 100 sheep, let's call that the church, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Now just imagine us. You got 100 sheep, one runs away. What would you go? I still got 99. I'm good. Right? That's the way we think. That's not the way Jesus thinks. Jesus says to the other shepherds, you stay here, you watch them, I gotta go. Where do I gotta go? I gotta hunt down the missing one. Maybe you're the missing one. I don't know. You know. I don't know. And he says, and if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than the 99 that did not go astray. You see how happy Jesus is to find wandering sheep? We think, oh man, I walked away from God. He don't want nothing to do with me. Do you know, if that's the way you think, God just proved you 100% wrong. 100% wrong. That I love to find wandering sheep. And on the cross, Jesus was willing to risk his life for that one sheep. Ask yourself that question, is that you? I know it was me one time. And is that you? I often find how so many people are unaware how much they matter to God. I know some people think they really matter to God. And I'm like, yeah, probably don't. Okay, right? Okay? But a lot of us, we don't really know how much we matter to him. We think, you know, what would God care about me? Now, people say to me stupid stuff. I don't, if you've ever said it to me, I'm not talking about anybody here, but you know, like, oh man, it must be, you know, I was at the doctor's office the other day, and a doctor I'd never met before, and they said, oh, I heard you're a pastor of a church. I said, yes. They said, it must be very rewarding. I said, it is extremely rewarding and extremely heartbreaking. They go, that must make you feel important to God. I go, that's not why I feel important to God. Would you like to know why? And I told her. Not that I even gave her a chance to answer. But do you know how important you are to God? I'm not asking you a theoretical question. I'm asking you a really practical, simple question. Do you know how important you are to God? So important that if you're the one who strayed, he'd come for you. And if you were the only sinner on the planet, he would come and die for you. Do you understand that? Do you think about that? I mean, think about it. You matter so much to God that he sent his son to look for you. Do you really think about that? Today, the Lord Jesus calls all of us to follow him as close as possible to wherever he leads. And sometimes the ways he's going to lead you are going to be really hard. But eventually, to follow him into eternity. So we'll close with this. Have you strayed? Jesus wants you to come back today. Maybe have you never come to Jesus? I want you to listen to this right now. That's Jesus knocking on the door of your heart, saying, you're willing to let me in. He's calling you to the foot of the cross and saying, come and watch me. Just look at me dying for your sins and understand that I'm doing that for you and for all of us. Will we daily come to him because he is our shepherd?
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney, and that's all the time we have for today. Our desire here at Changed by Love is to simply bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. If you missed part of today's message or want to hear it again, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. This program is possible because of the support of you, our listeners. Your support helps us to produce radio shows and purchase radio time on radio stations across the country. Pastor Jim often says that it was radio that helped him in many ways when he was a truck driver and an office worker before he became a pastor. Our team here at Changed by Love is always encouraged to hear how our ministry is helping you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. And when you write to us, please let us know what station and time you hear us. We would also like to thank all of you who pray for our ministry. We realize that without your prayers, our work would lack power. Pastor Jim is so grateful to the people who write to us and pray at the conclusion of each show. Without your prayers and support, we can't do what we do. Our hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord here in the Gospel of John, one verse at a time. Those of us who are bringing you the Changed by Love program pray God's best to each and every one of you today and every day.